This is Women's Rights, a podcast about women's ordination, written and produced by students at Smith College. Hi, we're Zoe House, Clara Brocarlat, and Esther Kearns. We're your hosts for this episode of Women's Rights. This season, we are exploring the story of women's ordination in Community of Christ, a church with 250,000 members, formerly named the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This denomination began ordaining women in 1985, and on the 35th anniversary of these first ordinations, we're taking this season to look back on the journey towards women's ordination in Community of Christ. To do so, we've interviewed women ordained in the first decade after the 1985 policy change, women who went on to be leaders in Community of Christ. Each episode in this series investigates a different topic, and today we're going to look at the theme of changes. How has ordination affected and changed the women who were ordained in the late 80s and early 90s? And how has women's ordination changed Community of Christ as a whole?
We're going to start off by hearing from several ordained women about how their personal faith has changed since their ordination. Gwendolyn Hawks Blue responded,
I don't know that my faith has changed. I think it's, well, if anything, the feeling I might get is that God can use anyone, you know. So I don't know if that's so much my faith changing as at a more personal level, embracing that understanding. I mean, it's one thing to have it at a head level, and it's another to have it at both an emotional and spiritual level.
Along with Gwendolyn, many of the women seem to observe a difference between their faith, quote unquote, changing completely versus their faith developing, growing, and maturing. Charmaine Shavala Smith expressed this distinction well.
My own faith just keeps changing. I mean, not in the most elemental ways. I think at the foundation is still this absolute assurance that God is present and loving, and calling us to be our best selves and offering to help us do that. So those pieces haven't changed, but you know, I think it was trying to think of a specific, and I think like in regard to prayer, that's a place where my faith has changed and is still changing.
Many of the ordained women talked about their faith journeys as them becoming more aware of and receptive to the Spirit. Gwendolyn observed this in her own life.
One of the things that challenges me always, and I hope in a sense that never goes away, is equipping myself as much as I can spiritually to be open again to God's Spirit to guide me in whatever it is I'm doing. And that's a work in progress.
One's own faith is highly personal and intimate, so we are very grateful for being able to listen to these ordained women's insights into their ever-evolving spiritual journeys.
Next, let's find out what advice and support these ordained women would give, based on their own experiences, to other women who are newly called to the priesthood. Jane Gardner explains that deciding whether to accept a call to the priesthood requires careful thought, as well as patience.
My probably number one advice would be to not be in a hurry. To really give it a lot of prayer and thought, and see if it's a good fit, see if it makes sense in their life. And sometimes God calls us when it's uncomfortable. It makes a stretch.
Charmaine agrees that becoming ordained is a serious, humbling process. At the same time, she advises women to not let their ordination status define them completely.
Don't let this determine all of who you are. It's part of who you are, and it's part of your relationship with God, but your relationship with God needs to be outside of that as well. So keep being open to to being deepened spiritually beyond that call. It's not the end all. There was a time in our church where being ordained was a bit of an end all. It proved that you had value. And don't let it be that, because it can hold you back.
A final piece of advice for women who are newly called or ordained is to find a spiritual mentor. Linda Booth serves in this role and describes how she makes herself a resource for women who have been called.
The first thing I do is share with them my testimony of their call, my assurance that God has divinely called them. And we talk about it, and we talk about their fears, and we talk about their excitement, and all the different feelings that they might be experiencing. And then we end with a prayer where I pray a prayer of blessing for each one. And then I continue to pray for them, and they know that I'm praying for them. And I always allow myself to be open to a phone call or an email from someone who says, I have this experience and this is being asked of me. What do you think I should do?
So now that we've heard the advice that women in the priesthood would like to give to newly ordained women, let's find out what work still needs to be done to make Community of Christ more equitable and inclusive.
The women interviewed for this podcast series felt that while great strides had been taken place to make the Community of Christ more equitable and inclusive, more steps still needed to be taken. Gwendolyn talked about how a greater effort could have been taken by the Community of Christ to help newly ordained women, especially those with further marginalized identities, to move into leadership roles.
And there were no particular, efforts made to include me. But neither do I know how much they got together. So as I said, I have to lay the responsibility on both of us. Perhaps I could have said, but hey, I'm over here dealing with this. You got any ideas?
She suggested that the church should provide a clearer structure to help newly ordained women move into their roles. Gwendolyn also hopes that the Community of Christ improves in the support of marginalized identities.
If the idea of a woman of color being in the priesthood did not say to them, hey, maybe she needs a little more help than some of the rest of us do. I don't know what went or did not go through their heads, but I know I was the only woman of color in the mission center.
Gwendolyn talked about the role of spiritual training, saying that
I think there's a lot of value in having that more formal training.
Jane feels that
we have work to do to help women see themselves in these roles.
She talked about the importance of encouraging women to ask questions of
what does it mean to offer yourself in service and ministry? And pragmatically, are you able to do it? And I think at the heart of it, do you feel the call? Do you feel like God's asking you to move in this direction?
Gwendolyn also reflected on hopeful signs demonstrated by an increase in diversity in high-level church positions.
Now, for many years, as I think I said in a previous conversation, when I would go to conference, especially when I was younger, you would look up on the rostrum of leadership and you'd see white men, and that was it, period. That broadened to be some men of color, very slowly. And then within the last, 10, 15 years, women appeared in leading as apostles. And as I said, this is the second, Stacy Cram is now the second woman who has been a part of the first presidency of the church. So the roles have been open. I mean, once it was open, And now, I don't know, if I were to trace from the very beginning of Women's Call in the late 80s to now, I don't know how rapidly that occurred, but it has occurred. You know, that women were seen in every role.
Gwendolyn also talked about the importance of increasing the inclusivity of members' opinions. One way this is being done is that
now at conference is when there are issues that are particularly sensitive or around which people can have pretty intense emotional reactions. There are efforts to work toward more consensus. And by that I mean not up, down, yes, no votes, but putting the question or concern there and having the opportunity to have full support, limited support, no support, you know, varying degrees. And that approach has been taken with regard to open communion, looking at questions about sexual orientation.
She felt that taking this type of approach would help the church become more inclusive for its members going forward. Charmaine talked about how second wave feminism and women's ordination in the 1980s began as a process of revealing blind spots in the church and wider culture, and this process needs to continue.
I think the movement that feminism started making happen in our church needs to spread to other blind spots that we have. You know, I say that any individual or any institution always has blind spots. We just don't know what they are yet, and they are often limiting the ministry we can bring, or blinding us to how we see other people. And that there's always a need to keep recognizing our blind spots.
She continued to reflect on what this meant for women in the church and American culture.
But I think as far as women are concerned, we're in a time in this culture where we've been going backwards. We've been going backwards so quickly as far as the rights of women. And right now, there's parts of culture that are threatening women, threatening children, threatening people of color, immigrants. And, you know, my hope is that things like the struggle of to ordain women in a denomination that was not prone towards that kind of change would give us eyes and a heart to be sensitive to what equality can look like and what it needs to look like.
Finally, Charmaine thought, the search for equality has continued in the church's present day inclusive policies on gender identity. However, she noted,
unless we hang on to the recognition that it's not a fair world. It's a world in which those with power continue to make sure they have power. And that means there's somebody who's less than you. And if we don't question that, then we've lost some of the momentum of where we've been.
As we've heard today, many changes have come out of the ordination of women in the community of Christ, both on a church-by level and on the individual level of the first waves of women who were called to the priesthood in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Although the work is not complete in the church, during the 35 years since women's ordination began, the community of Christ has made significant strides towards inclusion and equity.
This has been our final episode in the series on women's ordination in Community of Christ. Thank you for tuning in to Women's Rights. Thank you. special thanks to Gwendolyn Hawksblue, Charmaine Shabala-Smith, Linda Booth, and Jane Gardner. Also, thanks to Dan Bennett, Travis Grandy, and Yasmin Eisenhower of the Smith Learning, Research, and Technology team. Thanks to Rachel Killebrew of Community of Christ Library Archives. And thanks to the Andrew Mellon Foundation that supports public-facing student writing at Smith College. Tune in next time on Women's Rights.